Hello, everyone. This is an amazing class, and it's going to be very different from other classes that I have taught. I consider this like God's gift to us, because the cosmic forces are coming together in such a beautiful way to support our move and shift from 3D to 5D consciousness. And in that shift, it means that we leave shame, blame behind. And I know it's kind of been a theme on like a lot of programs being offered on the internet. And it's a wonderful theme to have at the forefront right now. And then there's a particular aspect for empaths about shame that has such a depressing effect on empaths, that this was really a gift to have this class offered with the kind of help that we're going to get. So what I'd like to do is just talk a little before we go into the meditation about the specific type of shame that empaths feel. And there's something, and I'm not saying that everyone does feel shame. Everyone's had some kind of trauma or dismissal or been shamed and been blamed and all that kind of stuff. But there's a particular type of shame that can set into an empath, and I'm not saying every empath, but for a lot, that causes you to shut down your beautiful sensitivities because you're dismissed or told that you're crazy, or the sensitivity of your nervous system was so overwhelming that you couldn't process or weren't taught to process the information that was coming in to your nervous system and to your being. And so it creates a kind of like a hunched over, head down, afraid to look out into the world for fear that you're going to be wrong again, or you're going to be dismissed again, or you're going to be shamed or yelled at or rejected because what you know is too truthful or too clear for another person to handle. So as I say that, can you relate to what I'm describing?
Yeah.
What does it trigger for you? What can you share about that? Let's have a few people share their experience of that. We just, maybe three people we can have share. And I'm sure whatever three people share is going to be what everyone would share. So is someone willing to share a little about what I just said, what it brought up for you?
Well, this is Cindy, and I know for me it brings up some pretty strong feelings of sadness, of being dismissed over and over.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's another Cindy. There's Cindy Schickenden, Cindy Rakow. Okay. And how about another person?
Anger, I know anger arises, and I've been, it's pretty cool though, because, I guess, cool, because lately, especially within the past couple months, I've been really able to identify the trigger for the anger, and it is being devalued, being viewed as less than or devalued, and that's what triggers it.
Beautiful. Thank you. And one more person?
Hi, Sarah. This is Kate.
Uh-huh.
This environment we're in right now, as I'm watching it and experiencing it, it feels like the we and the me are simultaneously colliding. And I'm trying to navigate the we. And as I'm doing that, I'm noticing everybody's feelings about what's happening in our environment right now. And as I'm navigating through my own feelings and having my opinions and feelings about it, I'm not feeling like I have any safety.
Okay. Safety, anger, sadness. That's all part of this. And the shame of it, using shame in a different way, is that you don't get to express the beauty of your being. And the fact that you're, and I believe this wholeheartedly, that empaths come from more of a fifth dimensional consciousness. And that we're meant to be putting that out into the energetic, psychological, social environment of the planet now. And in order to do that, we've had to really struggle and be strong to become who we truly are. So when you know as much as an empath knows, and you're not taught how to manage all that information that's coming into you, and you're not taught that you're steeped in oneness and grounded in love, and then you put dismissal and shame on top of that, it puts you at a huge handicap to be living in this world. But now things are changing. I'm telling you that the energies are shifting now. I put up an article on the page that talked about the shifting of Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune, that they're coming into phase where they're going to support the emergence of the higher frequency being. I've been told about this for quite a long time, that this period of time would be a period of empaths taking off their disguise and showing up in their true being. Now, in order to do that, this film of shame needs to be released, dissipated. You know, I used the image on the class page of a dandelion just, you know, after it's been bloomed and seeded, that of all those little filaments flying off into the air. And that's more like what we're going to experience here, as if a beautiful wind and light and frequency came and really dissipated, removed, disintegrated this film that is over our being. And it takes a higher frequency to do this type of healing, because this has become so normalized for us that many of you even don't even know that you're walking around with this. You know the results of it. You know the sadness, the anger, and the confusion. But you really don't know how much if this is impacting us in a 24-hour ubiquitous way. It's just everywhere. And when there's a film like that over us, we don't even know that it's happening. So we think that feeling shame or feeling negative about ourselves is just a normal state of being. It's become extremely normalized in our culture. But also in the culture now, we are witnessing all kinds of beings being without shame. Isn't that true? I mean, who do you see that is expressing any kind of shame on the public, as a public figure? Is anyone expressing any shame? Right? No one's
One.
expressing.
No one. Nobody.
Okay. So we're in an environment where we're actually able to say, well, we don't have to have shame either. It's being modeled in a funny way. The message is we're getting rid of shame. Now, that doesn't mean that we're supposed to get rid of morals and values and compassion and things like that, but we are getting a major message that shame is disappearing. And as long as you see people around you, it doesn't even have to be a public figure. They're just not expressing much shame. They're being who they are without excuses. So, time for empaths to be who they are without an excuse. And I know it's kind of a funny parallel, but the meta message there is no more shame. So, pause for a moment. Let's kind of feel ourselves, our feet on the ground, and coming back to our bodies. And feel yourself on a vibrational level, like beyond the mind. And you can kind of feel maybe that you're in a group that feels safe, that the energy and the frequency is starting to get brighter and lighter. And that would be almost as if the energy is going straight into your body and waving in and out of your body, totally below your conscious awareness. It's more on a feeling basis. And you can drop into your body, come back home, and recognize not with your mind, but with your subtle senses that we're starting to form a circle. Our higher beings are gathering and recognizing each other. And take a few breaths. Good. So in this class, you really don't have to do anything. This is an experience that will be performed by higher beings, by your higher being that's merged with the great cosmic masters. And they will be performing the healing, the clearing, the cleansing, the removal of the shroud of shame from us. So all we have to do is really kind of relax into it. This is something where efforting is not going to pay off at all. I did provide kind of a practice, an assignment, if you wanted to engage in that, of starting just notice shame, because I can even tell you for myself that shame was so pervasive in my being that until I was cleared of it, I had no idea that I was living under that burden and darkness. It just felt so normal. So I did provide a little exercise if you'd like to start watching it and noticing it in your life, just to bring it to your awareness. One thing that we do want to kind of eliminate is really doing any blaming, shaming on ourselves and to others. And if you did, anyone notice, I mean, just even starting to think about this class, how much shaming and blaming we do of other people as well as ourselves?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so normal, you wouldn't even think to think of it. It just feels like a normal way of interacting. You should do this. Come on, why didn't you do this? What's wrong with you? You know, all those phrases are going on. And what else did you notice? I mean, Sean, are you here tonight? Because what you wrote on the mm-hmm. class page was just perfect.
Thank you.
And was that new for you, or in any way a different way of seeing what you described in terms of the shame and blame?
Yeah, sure. It's strange. It did feel pretty new, which is interesting. And what I became aware of was the process and how it starts with blame and then, you know, refusing to take accountability. And then there's shame for what happens. And what I realized after writing that was once it gets to shame, I can't even remember how it started. Like, it almost just like feels like I'm trapped then. Like, it's almost too late to do much.
Yeah. You know, and you know, I've known Sean for a long, long, long time, and he's such an evolved being and a therapist and everything. And here it's just like something new came up for Sean. It's you know, we're coming at this from a different frequency. And Jamie, your comment, are you here, Jamie?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Your comment, and by the way, thank you. I used your quotes already in the document.
Oh, God.
I used your initials. Because your comments were so pertinent to what we were talking about. And Jamie, what you described was pretty amazing. Do you remember what you wrote?
Yeah. It wasn't that long ago. Okay. Yeah, I feel like actually when I read Sean's comment, I kind of felt like the opposite in some ways. Like, I felt like whereas he expressed how he kind of has this blame reaction, I feel like I very much am on the alert of getting blamed or getting shamed. Mm-hmm. And so it makes me sometimes not want to be myself or act in a natural way because I'm so worried about catching backlash. And your comment of how, like, you can just not take that on. Like, you can just disagree with that. I was like, oh, that feels really freeing.
I know, it's amazing. I just want to point out, it's not opposite sides, because even how I wrote it on the page, it was, mm-hmm. they're circular. You know, they just mm-hmm. intertwine like a figure eight in a way, and intertwine with each other. But I know the idea that you don't have to accept any blame or shame, that there's a higher frequency way of interacting. Is the beauty of what's going to happen in this class. So anyone have any comments right now or questions? The idea of a higher frequency way of interacting, how does that sound? What does it bring to your consciousness?
Yeah, it's Fran, and that sounds really wonderful. And I know that when I read your email on Sunday talking about the class and the practices we could engage in, it made me so aware. And what one of the things that came to me was a strong awareness of a habit I have of shaming and blaming someone in my life frequently, and how I felt when I did it and after I did it. And I made a vow to myself, and I did it lightly so that if I failed with my vow, I wouldn't blame myself. But it seemed like the grace and the energy of this class provided an opportunity. So I just said it to myself. I would age in the grace of this class and making certain to, ground and clear, that I would really, maybe vow is strong, but it felt like a vow, for 24 hours experiment and see if I could not do that. And it happened. Mm. And it felt so good, and I've re-upped it twice now. I haven't done it since then. And I'm not saying it's forever or permanent, but it's been so uplifting and freeing, and I have felt so much better about myself.
Wow. So in your vow to not do it, what did you figure out to do?
Well, a couple of things, at least. And one was to feel the energy of this class and the grace and know it was there. And then know my own responsibility to ground and clear with Mother Earth so I wasn't walking around with a film of yuck that would make it so much easier for me to, do those, to be in that habit. So that combination and that intent, and then it was so reinforcing.
Okay, so if you don't mind me taking this a little farther with you, Fran, because you really did the practice. Okay, so you didn't do what you would usually do. And obviously you're in a situation with another person that you want them to change their behavior in some way or do something differently with your with your relationship. How did you choose then to interact?
I would say that I didn't walk around on eggshells. That was kind of a surprising thing. I didn't walk around on eggshells so I wouldn't draw fire. I just kept this in mind. Mind is strong. It wasn't mind. It was awareness. And I knew I was in the grace of the class, that it was a wonderful opportunity to change this within me. And, in the morning I'd sit, a little bit and say, God, I'm here, please. I'm here. I want to be... And in the evening, I do a much longer sit. So I would say I interacted. What I did was kind of normal. It's just what came out of my mouth was much nicer.
Ah, okay. So can you give us an example of what came out of your mouth?
Oh, golly. I don't remember specifics of what came out of my mouth, but I do know that it was almost like some combination of what would normally have annoyed me and caused me to make a blaming remark didn't annoy me. And the combination of that, or just even if I could sense that it might have, I just didn't respond that way. I didn't feel like responding that way.
Did it feel like you were more affirming of the person that you were annoyed at?
Yes. Oh, yes. And it wasn't a sucky-uppy kind of affirming. It wasn't a deliberate nice to the person.
Uh-huh.
It came out that way.
Mm-hmm. So you were more in a healing, clear state.
I believe so. Mm-hmm. I was in grace. Blessed and in grace is how I have felt.
Yes. So when you're not in those critical, annoying, judgmental, blaming, shaming thoughts, a part of you can come out, the true you that wants to come out, that can be in a healing light state, upgrades mm-hmm. the frequency of the interaction. And so what was the reaction from the person?
Surprise, pleasure. not saying it, but I could see almost a delight looking at me like, who is this?
Okay, thank you for letting us kind of crawl in there a little bit.
Thank you.
Because this brings up the next point I want to make, as empaths, when you're with someone who is in shrouded in shame and blame, what happens to you?
There can be a reflection.
Oh, wait, there were two people. Who is the woman first?
Rana.
And then who is the male?
Yeah.
Sean.
Okay, let's go Rana first and then Sean. Okay.
There can be an unconscious reflecting back to them how they are being. And then sometimes it takes time and distance for me to wake up and go, oh, like that, I didn't have to act that way. That just wasn't me or mine. And I'm doing it more and more, but it's been such an ingrained habit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, a reflection back. It's like living my life and persona and everything out of who's in front of me.
Right. So when you pick up someone and reflect back to them, how does it come out?
It's almost like, it's like I'm picking, and I'm sure it obviously originates from my own self-judgment that gets projected onto them because I'm picking up so strongly their self-judgment that then I sort of feel annoyed and then I'm judging them.
Right. Thank you. Yes. And this is really important for empaths to realize, because not only do we have our own shame, not only do we live in a culture of shame, but then we reflect back to people who are also in shame and then end up shaming them because we pick that up and we just reflexively send it back. So it's a whole nother level of shame. Okay. So, Sean, why don't you share with us what you're going to say?
Yeah, sure. I just was going to say that as an empath, because I'm so fluid and I'm also just so interested in people, I merge with it. I jump right in and explore it, and it becomes a whole world. And I think I've gotten better at it, obviously, through all this training, but it's still my initial thing is to explore and merge. And I think that is probably the first step into getting lost in that dynamic that was just described. Because if I didn't merge, then I wouldn't feel, you know, I wouldn't get caught up in kind of the reactionary stages of getting lost in it.
And getting lost in it would be reflecting back to them and somehow shaming them or judging them or criticizing them, kind of thing.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, when they're in a world of shame, yeah, I think that's our way of rejecting it, essentially. Like, we're mm-hmm. just, because we would die if we didn't. Like, we have to somehow get out of it. And I think that's usually what's being set up, is us rejecting them, and they're almost kind of used to it, so they'll kind of set the stage for it. But I think it's also just a self-defense against it, the dangers of getting lost.
It's a real convoluted maze, because it sets up this dynamic where it just is a shame spiral that just doesn't end. So it's really important for empaths to understand and learn how to separate from people. And maybe it's a trigger for you, or a cue that if you feel shame, that maybe the person you're feeling or interacting with is actually the one feeling shame. But when we have this filter that permeates our whole planetary consciousness, it's hard to separate that out. And so that's what we're going to be gifted with during this class. And how can I boldly say that we're going to be gifted with this? I mean, it's crazy. I even say to myself, this is crazy to say this. And say to people, we're going to be done with shame by the time we're done with this class. But my guidance has been so strong on this, and I kept resisting it and resisting it until there was no choice but to put myself out there to offer this class because it was so strong. For some reason, we're all going to be free of this and have a really good hold on living without this as the shroud that weighs us down and keeps us from seeing clearly who we are. So any other comments right now? Is this hitting a chord with people?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Oh
yes.
Okay. Okay. Kate, how's it landing with you, Kate?
It just feels so empowering to I've been working with shame. We did a class, I think it was last year, maybe, or 2 years ago, and that informed me a lot. And I feel so excited that I might actually feel empowered to have my voice. Mm-hmm. I have a lot to say. And I feel like I get shut down. And so this feels like possibly I have an opening.
Wonderful. Okay. Okay, anything else before we go into the meditation in the sacred circle? I'm just looking around to see if what I see when I'm in circle, there is a light, like a spotlight that shines itself on the person who's supposed to talk. And it's this guiding light that if everyone could be attuned to that, then I'm sure there would be the collective information and expression that is meant to come through each person on behalf of the whole. So this is something I've seen since I was 19 years old with a group. And there is this guiding consciousness that shines on each person when they actually have something to contribute. And it's meant to be a contribution to the whole. And because we have not been trained in the ways of being in a sacred circle, we apply our shame and self-criticism that, you know, I really don't have anything to say. I don't have anything new to say. Whatever I say is going to sound crazy to other people. We have all kinds of reasons. And so during this class, over the next couple of weeks that we're together, you might practice sensing whether you're activated to speak and drop all the excuses, drop all the self-criticism, all the filters, and offer what's coming to you. Because in a sacred circle, it's a circle, and everyone is an activated participant in the circle. So we're not sitting in a classroom where the teacher's at the head of the class and everyone's sitting there and, you know, being perfect screens for the teacher to impress upon. We're in a circle. And a circle turns into a cone, and it turns into a diamond, and it turns into a multifaceted crystal, and it turns into the flower of life, and all the facets of our being are there to contribute to the circle. So, is there anyone that would like to say something? Okay. So let's take a moment to come back to yourself. We're going to activate the circle. We're going to align and come into higher frequency vibration space, fifth dimensional consciousness. Oh, that's what I wanted to mention. Shame is a 3D event. It is not fifth dimensional consciousness. It just doesn't even exist in fifth dimensional consciousness. So as you shift from 3D to a higher frequency of 5D, shame just falls away. Just like Fran described, it just didn't exist. And so part of what's happening in this group is the raising of the frequency of your being so that it will naturally fall away. But we are also receiving the gift of the attunement as well. We do need the help from the higher realms for this. So, feel your feet on the ground, your seat on the chair. And I ask for everyone's participation in this, that you're not looking at your phone or answering texts or watching TV and you just have us on mute. To be in this class, we need your full presence. We greet the spirit of the land, Mother Earth. We greet the spirit of the water. We greet the spirit of the fire. We greet the spirit of the air and the ether. We greet the nature spirits. All kingdoms of living beings are invited to join us, respecting the sacredness of the circle and bringing their wisdom to bear. And I am going to put us on mute now. We greet the kingdom of the trees, the nature spirits, the gnomes, the fairies, the orb consciousness, the universal consciousness, and the universal language of frequency to bring us together. Sense yourself sitting in the chair, aligned with your feet on the floor, comfortable. You don't have to be in any type of stiff position, just upright with feet on the floor. If you need to spread your knees apart a little bit to release your lower back, go ahead. And get yourself comfortable so that we're sitting here for about 20 minutes. And if you feel the energy in your feet, connecting with the earth. If you see it, hear it, know it, just know it. Allow yourself to be in that subtle space beyond the physical, the expanded spectrum of consciousness. Come to your lower back, invite it to soften and release. Invite your tailbone to soften and return to neutral position. And it's an invitation. We're usually so bound up in the whole area below our diaphragm because we don't tend to the energy below the diaphragm usually. And there's a lot of unwinding and freeing up of the bindings that tie us down because of the shame and blame and the lower frequency consciousness that we engage in. And we'll pause and settle in. There's no rush. There's only a time pressure when this area of our consciousness, like the third, second, first chakras, are bound up. When they're bound up, it feels like there's no time. We're rushed. We're impatient, irritable. Shame, blame, anger. And so, of course, we need to take a little time to let that free up. And this will help us be in the posture energetically to receive the frequencies and codes all the way through our being. Not just in the upper chakras, but all the way through to the root chakra, where Mother Kundalini is there to receive the energies to then awaken higher consciousness from the root upward, activate the codes where our being knows how to be a fifth dimensional being that orients towards healing, light, compassion, that feels the difference when we're in lower frequency and it doesn't feel right. And then through the all-pervading love of the mother, feel free to readjust, to reorganize ourselves into a higher frequency. We don't get stuck. We don't spiral downward. We spiral into higher frequency because there's no pressure. There's only an abiding love. And in that love, we feel, we don't feel criticized. We feel like we can take our time to adjust without feeling shame, without being self-critical. And it becomes this kind of an automatic shift that we can make without a lot of noise around it. And then we greet the gateways, the spirit of the East, and the south and the west, the north above and below, the beings that form the structure of the planetary consciousness. generate the matrix to create the structure and form of our planetary consciousness. And take a moment to feel the readjustment, the shifts going on in your being. You may feel the energy in your feet, in your hands, in your crown, your third eye, your second, third, first chakra, your heart, your throat. Being in flow so that the intelligence of our energy, once it's in flow, knows how to remove any kinds of congested energy, any blocks. Intelligently, it moves through our system, opening us, creating beautiful flow of true being. Now the circle is formed, the axis, the central axis is activated, and we are in the sphere of the toroidal field of the group axis. We're going through a second level of cleansing. You're not losing your individual consciousness, but your individual consciousness is finding its harmony in the totality consciousness. So we don't lose ourselves in the wholeness of we. We become a more beautiful expression of our true self. And this is where the interaction in the 5D level becomes such a pleasure. And we're ascending, expanding into our light beings, but we're also connected to the earth, to our body. So whatever is happening on these expanded planes is going to flow into the body, impact the personality, and become part of the new you here on earth. And that connection with the earth is established. So if you feel like expanding as far as you want to, you don't have to listen to me. You don't have to even stay aware of your body. You can expand as far as you want, as comfortably as you want. That connection with your body is established. That cord is there to connect you from the most expanded state all the way back to your physical consciousness. And so you can relax into the expansion. You don't have to listen to me. In a minute or so, the energies are going to take over and it'll become a pure vibrational frequency experience. Notice any tension in your body. If you need to adjust your posture, go ahead. Lower your awareness to the root chakra. Sense the cauldron of light, the energy, the intelligence. Surrounding you, flowing through you, raising your vibration from the cellular to the superconscious. Very often the root chakra senses like a lotus with a flame in the middle. And that lotus blossom has a root going all the way down into the earth. So we're establishing a three-point grounding with our feet and our tailbone, the root chakra. And allow yourself to sink into the energy to become the energy. You may feel yourself surrounded, consumed by the flame. This is the next layer of cleansing. Or you may be surrounded by the lotus or held in the arms of Mother Earth. But you're held, you're surrounded. And there's a light that emanates from below, moving upward. And it meets the light descending. So it's not just one way, it's always a spiral. But I'd like you centered in the lower root. And eventually your being opens like a flower blossoming. So we go from seed to stem to bud to flowering. And we feel the radiant light of Father Sun. And beyond that, the cosmic invisible light, the most refined light. And imagine a flower communicating with the air, with space. Yeah, we just picture a flower and the sun, but the flower is communicating with all space, with the earth, with all beings, because it can subtly sense life all around it. And now we're moving into the vibratory experience where the collective higher being begins a healing and a disconnecting of the shame, blame frequency from our being. So I will be silent for a little bit here. it won't help to try to watch this. You just need to relax, and you'll become aware of it on a certain level at some time. It's a resetting of the frequency in our beings. If you watch it, you'll get in the way of it if you try to watch it. Even if you try to feel it, it's really beyond most of our sensing ability. You may have felt the frequency expand quite a bit in that last minute or so. That completed the transmission for tonight. So take a few moments to feel yourself a little. Make sure you can feel your toes and your fingers. I'll bring us back off of mute, but if you just feel like staying in this place and not interacting, that's fine. You can hang up from the call or put yourself back on mute. But I'll bring us back so that if anyone has any questions or comments, we can hear them. So I'm going to bring us off mute now. Okay. We're off mute. Was there a prompt? Okay. So any comments or questions for tonight or insights that happened or share anything in the experience of the meditation?
Sarah, this is Kate again. Just this huge sense of relief washed over me in that I will be able to express what it is that I would like to express with love. And that's the, whatever happened there, that's where I came to.
Wonderful. Did anyone try to watch what was going on?
This is Leah. I did. I was doing that a little bit. And then it helped. It helped when you prompted to stop that. But it was hard not. It was a little hard not to.
So when you did, Leah, did you feel like a bigger flow going on, a release once you stopped doing that?
It was just different. Okay. It was just different. I think I'm very visual when I meditate anyway, so sometimes it's hard for me to differentiate between if I'm watching or if I'm seeing things visually. But when you said that, I was like, oh, yeah, that's me. So.
Oh, good. I'm glad you can tell the difference. That's great. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
And who else was going to speak? Someone else was trying to pop in there.
Oh, it was Sean. I was just agreeing that, yeah, I was watching too. I was fascinated by the watching.
Then what happened? Did you stop? Did it shift for you?
It was hard to let go of. I mean, that was a pretty big shift. So I had to let go of the imagery. But it still felt like I really wanted to watch because it felt so deep and so different. Like so much was being taken out of me, and I was just very excited about that.
Yeah, here's why I say that. It's like that Einstein quote about. If you want to find the solution to something, you have to be in a higher dimension. Well, I don't remember that quote. Does someone remember the quote? You have to be in a higher state in order to find the solution to the problem. So if we are doing anything with our mind during this, we are limiting it with everything that our mind knows because we need to be in a place where our mind doesn't know. So anytime we're watching, we're using the mind, and that automatically puts us back into being limited to only what we can reference. So if we can let go of that, then the possibility for all kinds of new frequencies and consciousness to come in happens. So that's why I always prompt away from that. Okay, anything else?
Yes, Sarah, this is Lisa.
Uh-huh.
I am during that first layer of cleansing, I got very hot and it started to rise and it got way up into like my scalp. I was sweating in my hair and then suddenly it was gone and my body temperature just completely balanced.
Yes. So heat and temperature change is one of the ways that we know energy. It's not just by seeing it or feeling it, but we can have a very strong temperature shift in our bodies. And it's that heat is part of that kundalini rising up and clearing, like I was talking about the intelligence. Mm-hmm. And it's like having a, you know, when you have a fever and after you're done with the fever, you feel, at least I do, I feel like I've been cleaned out, you know.
Yeah.
It's like that. and but in a controlled way. So nice experience. But that's, it's a very typical way of experiencing the energy, is through heat and cold change.
Yeah, I'd never had that before. So I don't, I thought, am I having a hot flash?
That's what, yes, and that's one of the secrets of hot flashes. That is one of the secrets.
Thank you for telling me that.
Yes. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Well, very good. So, this is what I recommend. You'll want to listen to the class a few times and then let the just the meditation. You want the frequencies of the meditation. And so you can just put on the recording of the class in the background of whatever you're doing and let the frequencies keep attuning you over the week. You don't have to think about it. I would love for everyone to at least place one comment on the page. Look at how much, like just Jamie and Sean interacted with each other and created, Sean's comment created a stimulus for Jamie to realize something. And that's a kind of interaction that we can provide for each other. So remember what I said, that don't judge what you feel like putting on there. The only thing I don't want you to put on there is whining. No whining allowed. Okay. There's, you can have questions about challenges that come up. That's one thing, but no whining. So have a beautiful week. Blessings.